news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Stop, Joker! Stop in the name of decent citizens everywhere!
Try to stop me, dynamic duo!
Let's get him, Batman. Not here, Robin. We'll cross the street the right way, at the corner, remember?
But he'll get away.
I don't think so. Holy manhole! Actually, Robin, the Joker was lucky. Now he'll only spend some time in jail. If that car had been going a little faster, it could have finished him off forever. Always remember, Robin, no matter how much in a hurry you may be, always cross streets at the corner.
Jerry, as long as we're talking to the young people this morning and their canisters and waking Mom and Dad up and telling them to get to the telephone, there's another character, a cartoon character that I played for the past 18 years on the network and in syndication. How many of you know the show Scooby-Doo? Well, there's a character that I play on that show, the sidekick of Scooby-Doo for the past 17 or 18 years, and his name is Shaggy. And Shaggy would like to say a few words to the young people out there, all right?
Go ahead. You Shaggy?
I'm Shaggy.
Go ahead, Shaggy.
Shaggy talks like this. The way he talks, Jer.
Go ahead.
He's always talking about his good buddy Scoob, his old friend, his old pal, his old dear buddy. And Shaggy would say right now, not all young children are as fortunate as you are. There are some that aren't. And some of them have muscular dystrophy. And there's one way to make sure that we one day find a cure for it. So just like Scoob would say, that's right, Raggy. I'm saying, as Shaggy, pitch in. Get those dimes and those quarters and those pennies. They add up, and they can all make a big, big difference. Your old pal Shaggy and Scooby, too, saying, why don't you do it this morning and remind Mom and Dad to get to that phone and make their pledge, too, okay? Thank you.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Okay, so you see, in the World Cup so far, what we get here, it's happening, is, so...
Whoa. What's going on here?
We're talking about the World Cup.
We're here to talk about comic books.
Nobody gives a damn about soccer?
Well, if you do give a damn about soccer, I know a website that's, like, covering the World Cup live.
All right, we'll talk comic books then. Welcome, folks, to the What Are You Reading comic book show. Yeah, I have to have a confession to make.
We weren't on the air
last week because I thought the World Cup started last week, and I tried to go down to Brazil to see the games live, and only to find I got there a week early. And of course... After a few Fast and Furious races, I got kicked out of the country.
They kick you out? Are you, like, able to go back, or they have, like, banned you for life?
I can't go back.
Oh, you that's know, a shame. I guess I'll have to go for
you know, I did jump in the way of a carnival parade. And... So, anyway, So I'm back here. So, I'm going to do a comic book show. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. It's me, the surfer.
Yes, it is me, Jordan Cobb.
We're going to talk and try to talk about this week's news, maybe some of last week's news.
Yeah, there was definitely some stuff we had to talk about from last week.
And, you know, we want you to join us.
Yes, and there are several ways you can join us. One of those ways is by pulling up your telephone and calling us at the number 215-253-4516. You can join us via Skype. Just add the contact SilverSurfer_forever. And you can join us in another way, the Rant Listen Live chat rooms. Go to www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live.
We hope you're listening through other means like Stitcher and iTunes and TuneIn Radio and
Podbean. Definitely look us up on iTunes. 5-star review. Start 5-star rating and review. That'll help us out greatly. And you can, and also on there, you can listen to the other fine programs that Rant EM Radio has to offer,
including one that's coming on right after this show, immediately following the show. Rant EM Radio will be covering Slammiversary TNA.
Slammiversary 12.
Double A, 7 p.m. So I have to cut this show short by a few minutes. As much as I don't want to sacrifice this fine programming, we'll do it. We'll take one on the chin this time.
They know we're the best show, right?
Yeah. So what you been up to?
I've been doing some. I quit my job at R City Radio.
Already?
It just wasn't working out for me. I'll just say that.
You know, I'm going to give you a little life lesson here.
Yeah.
Jobs aren't meant to work out. They're only meant to pay the bills.
I know that, but hey, that's also another problem. But I've also just been doing some work writing, storyboarding my own little short film that I'm hoping to film sometime late this year or almost likely be early next year, it looks like I'll have to film. But hey, filming is still filming, and I've read plenty of good comics, and I'm feeling good. Good about that.
Okay.
How you been? Besides getting kicked out of Brazil.
Not much I want to talk about this week, to be honest. But things are, you know, things are looking up.
That's good.
I can, you know, the pit of despair only goes so far down before you decide to climb back out. So, but anywho.
Yep.
None of my sadness. Let's talk some box office.
Yeah, we got plenty of box office.
Yeah, some movies came out this week and last week, of course. But the movies we're talking about came in at number 2, How to Train Your Dragon, at $50 million. It's the sequel to the How to Train Your Dragon, which is so far one of my top movies of the year.
Could I just cover that for this show instead of Transformers?
Why, you saw How to Train Your Dragon 2?
No, but I'm willing if you let me see the Silver Transformers.
Came in at third place, Maleficent, brought in another $19 million. Its grand total after 3 weeks is $163 million. So, Angelina Jolie, you're making money. You haven't got your budget yet, but you're close. Poor Tom Cruise.
Domestically, it doesn't have its budget. Worldwide, right. Yes.
Poor Tom Cruise. Edge of Tomorrow, in his second week, only made $16 million. This movie is fantastic. It's awesome, people. You need to go see it. But nobody's going to see it, and it's not performing well. So far, it's only brought in $56 million. It has a budget of $178 million. Now, it is making money overseas. So, actually, with his overseas budget added in, it's up to $200 million. $37 million. So, you know, people overseas know better than you do, America. Let's see. X-Men dropped down to 6 at $9.5 million. It is up to $205 million. It has surpassed Spider-Man.
Yep, and it's made $600 million worldwide.
In 7th place is Godzilla. $3 million this week, $191 million. It did make his budget back. It is the king of all monsters. scoring $439 million worldwide. So,
and
take that, Matthew Broderick.
Suck it, Ferris Bueller. Suck it.
Spider-Man's dropped all the way down to 12.
That does not surprise me.
Let's see. Lego movie still making a coin or two.
I imagine it's going to make a lot more coin when it comes out on Blu-ray.
But how can it come out on Blu-ray and still make money in the theater?
Well, dollar theaters.
Wait. Where's a dollar theater at? Because I'd like to go to one.
Those little small place that plays movies that that are still sort of running in theaters.
Right. I'd like to know where one is so I can go to it.
You got Google. You could look one up in your area.
There hasn't been a dollar theater in this area in decades.
You could look it up. I'm not
even the last dollar theater I went to was $3 before they went out of business. So
you got Google. I'm not the one living in Philadelphia.
I'm just saying they don't exist up here.
That's Philadelphia's problem. That's not my problem.
All right. Don't say that when something comes here and you be like, I can't get nothing in my little town that only has 50 people.
Well, I already know Nashville's not going to get nothing because it's a small town no one gives a shit about.
Anyway, where do we start with the news?
How about some casting news? Because we got plenty of that to talk about.
Okay, hit me.
First off, we're going to start off with Netflix. Why Netflix? Because Daredevil has casted its Kingpin, and its actor is Mr. Vincent D'Onofrio playing Wilson Fisk.
So, what are they going to do? Put him in a fat suit or something? Or are they just not going to have a...
The guy's pretty big himself. Like, not in the weight department, but in, like, stature. As soon as I heard the news, I thought, that's great casting. That's fantastic, honestly. D'Onofrio, if you don't know, is most known for playing Private Leonard Lawrence Gomer Pyle in Full Metal Jacket. He was the villain.
Oh my god.
He was the first villain, Edgar, in Men in Black. And of course, he's most notably known
he
for.
He was Gomer Pyle in Full Metal Jacket?
Yep, that was him. And of course, having recently played Detective Robert Gorin on Law and Order Criminal Intent. Oh, and don't forget, he was Thor. In Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay. I was wondering what happened to Gomer Pyle after his military career. I don't have a problem with the cast. I'm just saying, like, are they going with the fact that they can't make the Kingpin as big as he is in the book and just not going to worry about that?
Well, again, he has a very big, muscular build himself. I think that's going to help him out quite nicely. And he looks intimidating bald. There are pictures of him with a bald head. So, honestly, I think this is good casting. No one's got nothing to worry about. I think D'Onofrio's going to do great in the role.
Uh-huh.
Continuing with casting news in Marvel, Thanos has officially been casted. And my good...
Didn't we cover that a couple weeks ago?
I think that was when during last week where you were at, where you were gone.
No, I believe that was like 2 weeks ago they announced that about Thanos and that casting. That was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, well, never mind then. It's still Josh Brolin, people. Don't worry.
Yeah, because it was questioning whether... Not, you know, he what they're going to do with his voice and whether he was right for the role because, you know, he had that draw.
I still think he's going to be fine.
Oh, we know he can act, so.
Yeah. Well, once again, Jason Momoa's being pestered about playing Aquaman and Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. It seems like there was a swirl that had seemed like he'd officially confirmed that it was officially confirmed he was playing the role, but there has been absolutely no ruling of that yet as far.
He seems does not want to be involved with any superhero movies.
I don't think it's that. I just think it's
no,
like,
because he was up for Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. He turned that down, and maybe. That's how Batista got the role.
Maybe he just didn't like the script.
Come on now, it's Marvel. It's a Marvel film. You can only boost your career, even if Guardians of the Galaxy isn't the best Marvel film, it's still a high profile movie.
Yeah, but again,
it still would have only been a plus for him.
Well, okay, but again, look, it's his personal preference. If he if he didn't think the script was that probably that good, then whatever.
I'm not saying that he had to. What I'm saying is, it just seems like he's reluctant to take on any superhero roles. I guess he feels he's an actor and really wants roles that people will take him serious.
Yeah. Well, it seems like unofficially right now he is cast because from Hitflix, Hitflix said they could confirm that Zack Snyder had already finished finalizing his designs, so the character could be prepped for shooting soon.
So they dyeing his hair blonde.
Most likely.
He's going to be a very tan Aquaman.
Well, hey, at least it's not Vinny Chase from Entourage, because that would suck.
Seriously, look. You know, of all the characters, I don't see Aquaman as being very tan, living under the sea now. He's not getting a lot of sun. So that's going to be...
disconcerting to you?
Not disconcerting, but... It's just gonna look kind of, it may look a little off, just a little. Not saying, look, he may be perfect for the role. I don't know. I won't criticize any Justice League movie until it comes out and it bombs.
Well,
other than that, I have to assume that they don't know what they're doing until we know otherwise. I mean.
Well, again, it seems safe to assume that Jason Momoa is officially going to be playing Aquaman, King of the
now,
Sea.
Now, as Aquaman, it does give him more of a chance to get more films out of that role than Drax the Destroyer.
Aquaman's a more high-profile character than Drax.
Like you said, Drax, you know, being in a Marvel film, you know, if you want the buzz, listen. Robert Downey Jr., okay, became way bigger after doing that first Iron Man movie.
Yeah.
Okay, you can say he was a good actor already, and that was true, but he wasn't, his movies weren't pulling in the bank that it was until he did Iron Man. Now, all of a sudden, he's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, and people will go and see a movie because his name's attached to it. So, anyway, let's see.
We already talked about Ant-Man director, right?
Was that a couple weeks ago?
Well, I think we should just at least mention something about Ant-Man's finally found its director. It's Peyton Reed.
And what's he done?
Peyton Reed has done the following films. Bring It On. Down with Love, The Breakup, and Yes Man.
Okay, let's go over that again. Yeah. Bring It On.
Yes, Bring It On.
That was the cheerleader movie.
With Kirsten Dunst, yes.
Okay, what else?
Down with Love.
Down with Love.
A 1950s, late 50s, early 60s era set romantic comedy with Renee Zellweger and Ewan McGregor.
Go ahead.
The Breakup, that Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston movie.
Okay.
Yes Man, Jim Carrey movie.
So you think he's the right person for Ant-Man? Because all those movies are comedies, and I guess Ant-Man gonna have a comedic take to it.
No, I really don't think so, because I'm not that big a fan of his filmography. It's like, look, I think the best of those films is honestly Bring It On. I truly do mean that. But honestly, he's just a meh director. He just seems like a studio yes man. Someone Marvel might be able to like, here, this is a film we want that you know we couldn't get from Metro. Okay, I'll certainly do it for you.
Yeah, maybe that's what this film needs.
I'm not sure. We'll see when the film comes out, whenever the hell that is, if they're still set on that July 17, 2015 release date. Mm-hmm. But he's just okay. He's not exactly what I think the film really needs. The film needs a shot in the arm, and this is more like someone flicking their finger against your ear, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, could you just stop that?
Are you talking to me?
No, again, no, I wasn't talking to you. I'm saying that as part of my example.
Oh, whoa. Scared me there for a second. I don't have nothing on that. I mean, I'm going to wait and see.
Well, in addition to Reed coming on, Adam McKay is still involved. He's doing some rewrites.
Yeah, I did hear that too.
Official screenplay credit will go to Edgar Wright, Joe Cornish, and Adam McKay. The cast of Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, Corey Stahl, Michael Pena, Patrick Wilson, and Matt Gerard are still attached.
Is that movie going to make the year? It's due out in July next year, right?
July 17, 2015.
All right, so they better get cracking.
They better get their ass moving. And speaking,
hold up, before you move on, did you send Harrison Ford a get well card?
What?
Did you send Harrison Ford a get well card?
I did. And why would I even send him one? It's because on the recent set of Star Wars Episode 7, Harrison Ford received an injury. His ankle got caught in the door of the Millennium Falcon. A quote from an art from Superhero Hype, quote, Harrison Ford sustained an ankle injury during filming today on the set of Star Wars Episode 7. He was taken to a local hospital and is receiving care. Shooting will continue as planned while he recuperates. And again, it was an ankle injury he sustained from getting his door caught in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. You're getting too old, my friend. So...
Yeah,
make this your last Star Wars movies. Let the young people take over.
And again, since we just talked about Ant-Man, a movie soon to come out, there's some more movies that are apparently soon to come out, because apparently a slate of future Warner Bros. DC films has been leaked.
I'm a listener.
Yes. All right. This slate includes, we already know, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice in... May 2016.
Right.
But here's what's interesting following afterwards. Shazam, July 2016. Sandman, Christmas 2016. Justice League, May 2017. Wonder Woman, July 2017. Flash / Green Lantern team up, Christmas 2017.
Okay, stop.
Whoa. One more. Man of Steel 2, May 2018.
Wait. Double stop now. Okay, I thought we was getting Man of Steel 2 with this Batman Superman team up.
Apparently not.
Oh, so poor Perry and Jimmy and Lois, they gotta wait to get their second movie? That's not right. That's not fair.
Well, it seems they're pretty much just going to be, like, side characters in Batman versus Superman now.
Okay, now, the other thing, the first wait was, are we getting a different Flash from the TV show?
That has not been confirmed yet. Nor if they're going to do the same with Stephen Amell for Green Arrow.
You know, a good amount of fans would like to see that.
I know I would. I still really like Grant Gustin on his appearances on Arrow, and very much look forward to the Flash.
I mean, it's not like unless you're going to get some mega star names to fill those two roles, there's no reason why you can't. And once you start getting into like Justice League, that's a lot of actors you got to pay. If you can pay a couple actors a little less, I think it's best to get away with that.
Yep. But, again, we won't know. But, again, the most interesting to me is a Flash Green Lantern team-up, but also Sandman. It seems DC is dead set on moving forward with that Joseph Gordon-Levitt involved. Sandman. We know he's helping get the movie made, but we don't know if he's going to also be the star of it. That will be very interesting.
That's Preacher. No, wait. Which
AMC's doing Preacher.
No. I was about to say, I think a lot of people would think Sandman would be better as a TV show, but
I am one of those people.
We'll see. Maybe they'll do a movie and a TV show.
Who knows? I would just like Sandman Overture number 3 to come out soon.
Okay.
But that most likely won't happen. Anyway, we talk. Okay, you bring up TV. We do got some TV news.
Mm-hmm.
The Legend of Korra book 3 trailer debuted amongst all the hype that was E3 recently.
Teaser trailer. So you got no dialogue, just a lot of running around, a lot of bending.
It says official trailer, but yeah. I'm excited.
Did you get an idea of what the story's about? I mean, I've read that it's going to take place in the Earth Kingdom. Is that what it's called?
Earth Kingdom. Yep.
And you know they still got to deal with the spirits and.
Book 3 is subtitled Change, where Book 1 was Air, Book 2 was Spirits, Book 3 is Change.
Mm-hmm. But you know, like book 2 did take place in the Water Kingdom, so yeah. Book 3 is going to take place in the Earth Kingdom, and then
Book 3 is consisting of 13 episodes so far that we know of, and that post production was completed as of earlier this month. No release date has been announced. We know the series is complete. It's just a matter of time of waiting when it airs.
Well, I think we're all excited to get some Legend of Korra back on the air soon.
When is it
coming back on?
I just said there's no air date yet.
So we gotta wait till next year.
We don't know. Again, post production's done. The show's wrapped up. It's complete. It's just more so like we just gotta wait to decide when we're airing it. But speaking of airing, early screening reactions on Gotham have been trickling out, and the word is positive, especially for performances that concerning Ben McKenzie as Jim Gordon, Donald Logue, and the one getting some of the best buzz is Robin Lord Taylor as Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, how do I get an early screener of Gotham?
I would like one too.
Are they doing it at conventions or something? I mean,
well, you're going to Philly, Wizard World Philadelphia again this year, right?
I don't want to talk about it.
I take that as a no.
I didn't say no. I just said I don't want to talk about it.
Okay then, but
not on the air. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Okay, that's all you had to say. But early word on Gotham is that it is good. Yeah, trailer doesn't do it justice. And again, McKenzie, Logue, Taylor, all doing great jobs as Gordon, Bullock, and Penguin. So there's definitely something to look forward to. Speaking of one of the upcoming fall shows, Aaron.
Yeah, let's hope the season is good because, you know, there was some good buzz in that first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then as the season went along, people dropped off a little by little. Yeah.
Well, speaking of one of the upcoming shows debut in the fall, we have had a new trailer for Constantine recently, which has been set to premiere on Friday, October 24th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
They're going to make us wait for that and for the return of Grimm.
They'll make you wait for Grimm. I'm just waiting for Constantine.
Well, how are you going to watch Constantine and not watch Grimm?
I tried to get into Grimm. I just couldn't.
Why? What? Why?
I just didn't find the writing that good. The quality was just okay.
You really out of your mind. You know, especially if Mama Grimm shows up again. But they got the new character, Trouble. That girl is amazing.
Yo, okay, Surfer. If I give Grimm another chance, will you shut up about it?
I won't shut up about it. And yes,
no,
you have
no,
to give
no,
me
no, I
chance.
Mean you not asking why I watch Grimm.
Maybe.
Well, all right then. But in the trailer, it's interesting is that there is a brief glimpse at someone holding the helmet of DC character Dr. Fate.
You're a suggestion that maybe you'll get a little bit more of the DC universe in this show
than
just the one character. And, you know, hey, maybe it'll lead to you know, a little Swamp Thing, a little Edgerrin showing up maybe or something. You know, maybe the budget has it in store for these things, or they'll be mentioned at least.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like it's going to be doing some expanding out there. And continuing on the TV route that we have before we get into some really comics-heavy news, Image's own series, Rat Queen, seems to be getting its own animated series in the works. The article from the article from IGN says, quote, the studio plans on developing the books into a half-hour cartoon, pitching it to TV networks, Variety reports. Who is the thanks to Weta Workshops, Poico Pictures, and Heavy Metal, Poico's Martin Bainton.
Are you talking about
Adam Prado?
I missed something. Are you talking about Rat Queen?
Yeah, Rat Queen.
Okay.
They are talking into producing the show. Quote, Rat Queens is a standout in the marketplace as a diving rod for fangirls, a market as yet untouched by most comic publishers, Crit said of the announcement. It's not only perfect for the TV space, but much needed. End quote. I've read the first trade of Rat Queens as the first six or so issues, and I actually found it entertaining. I think Rat Queens is pretty damn fun.
I've not read Rat Queen.
Rat Queens.
Queens.
Plural.
Queens,
plural.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But Rat Queens, I suggest not only to user, but some of our listeners out there, as a recommend. Again, the first trades out there, Image always has a low introductory price on their first trades, so it's definitely you can definitely just go right into your local comic book shop or Books a Million or wherever they can sell books if they carry it and pick it up, which I do recommend. I think this series is really, really fun and something to be on the lookout for. And speaking of animated TV, it seems that Beware the Batman's finally going to get its other 13 episodes released onto Blu-ray with Beware the Batman Season 1 Part 2 titled Dark Justice. It'll be coming out in the fall and will contain episodes 14 through 26.
And I can tell you that the second half is better than the first half.
I finally got up to the second half, and yeah, I will say. Yeah.
Even though they did show a couple of episodes out of order on TV, which I kind of understand because they kind of skipped over the whole Ra's al Ghul arc and went to two episodes after that. Because it wouldn't have made sense to end in the middle of that Ra's al Ghul arc, but that is the best part of the show is when. When he shows up for, what was it, four episodes?
Four or so.
Yeah.
It is retailed to sell at $19.97 and will hit the shelves on September 30th of this year.
And
one more. I forgot.
Hold on real quick. The season did end on a note where it kind of tells you what a season two would be, even though we probably won't ever get a season two.
Yep.
And Harvey Dent. That's
yep.
Harvey, you know, you find out a lot about him.
One more TV story before we go to the comics part. Details have been and character teasers have been coming up for Arrow season 3. First character hinted at is named Daniel. His breakdown reads as follows, quote, 20-something gent, a major recurring character for season 3, is a handsome, enigmatic, highly intelligent interpreter, developing groundbreaking technology. Picture a business magnate in Ryan Gosling's body. First off, this is from the quote, not me. Though exuding charm and confidence in public, he privately harbors a tragic past that will drive him to becoming a tech-powered superhero. Watch for his formidable fella to be a love interest for Felicity and a rival for Oliver's, both professionally.
Yeah, Felicity needs a little love.
Well, considering that Barry Allen's going to be on a completely different show. And some people are actually guessing that this character is actually going to be Ted Kord, a.k.a. the Blue Beetle.
Okay.
That's what word on the street is.
Now, what's his name going to be in the show again?
Right now he is named Daniel.
Okay, never mind.
So that could just be complete bullshit right now. Second character described is Seth. Again, could be total bullshit, but a well-educated criminal with grand ambitions and a knack for chemistry. This potentially recurring character gains power over his enemies by exposing them to a drug that drains their willpower. Oh, and he is very much a physical match for Arrow. And rumor going around is that some people are just jumping to that it's Jonathan Crane, aka the Scarecrow. Even though he's never really been a physical match for anyone.
Why are they bringing in the Scarecrow?
I don't know, because people know who Scarecrow is.
Make up some new villains for Arrow. If you don't have,
bring back Clock King. I really liked what they did with Clock King on the show.
Isn't he really a Batman villain too?
No. He sort of became one, but he's overall used for DC. I mean, he's being used right now in the current ongoing arc of Green Arrow.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
All right. And there are two more characters. Again, names may not be final, but Toshi and Ayako. Quote, Oliver's teacher and Toshi is as followed. Quote, Oliver's teacher and handler, and eventually a friend, a well-trained operative skilled in weaponry, combat, and intelligence gathering. He is also a devoted father and husband, end quote. Akiyoko is described as, quote, Toshi's wife, is another of Oliver Queen's Hong Kong caretakers, and is herself highly skilled in martial arts, end quote. So again, Daniel, Seth, Toshi, Akiyoko, most likely just code names for characters that'll probably be used from the DC library.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all right on TV. Two bits of comic news. One, thanks to the character's known appearance in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Deathlok is getting an ongoing all-new series in October with Deathlok number 1 with the creative team of past interviewee of the show, Nathan Edmondson, who is also the current writer of Black Widow and the Punisher for Marvel, as well as his own Image created series. You should check it out. Art by Mike Perkins, who has done Captain America and Stephen King's The Stand. The series is described as such. Henry Hayes is a veteran single parent, a man who thought he'd left his war behind. But unbeknownst to him, he's transformed without his knowledge into the perfect weapon of destruction. Deathlok, operative, fighter, assassin, and more on the battlefield. He is whatever his handler's name will be. Created by the mysterious biotech corporation, Hayes is utilized as a deadly weapon rented out to the highest bidder. His memories erased at the close of every mission. As Henry slowly uncovers the truth behind the horrors that were visited upon him, he'll struggle with the knowledge that he's been transformed into a weapon of mass destruction and exposed the disturbing legacy of the many Deathloks that came before him.
How long do you give that series?
I'm going to be fair here. I'm probably going to say 15 issues.
Because I get the feeling that, you know, it probably would be a well-done book, I don't know if people really want.
You don't think the sales will be there?
No. And unfortunately, Marvel won't give it a chance to improve over time or get any kind of buzz.
That's a shame, because I think Edmondson is a really good writer. I think he could make something like this work. There is something executive editor Tom Brevoort had to say in his quote, "In the tradition of the Bourne identity, Deathlok will offer a high-intensity thrill ride mixed with a voltage of discovery as Henry is forced to peel back the onion skin of his own existence to get to the truth and to wrest back control of his life from his corporate overseers." Viewers familiar with the character concept from his appearance on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series all feel right at home getting in on the ground floor of this new series with an all-new Deathlok, end quote.
It is not going to be the same guy from the TV show, right?
No, this is not Mike Peterson. As said, it is Henry Hayes, a veteran of war and a single parent.
You think they should use Mike Peterson?
I don't think they should necessarily. I think that would be, honestly, I think that might
because
be.
Because they're trying to, you know.
Well, yeah. I get what you're trying to say. The popularity of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and how prominent he was featured on. And given this would help people who've only seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. translate better into knowing this is like Mike Peterson the early years, I just think that that would just create like whole continuity mess ups. I think going with someone, a new character like Henry Hayes, who apparently has been featured in Original Sin number one. Again, I'm waiting till Original Sin is like completely over to read it. I have no problem with him being used as his new Deathlok.
Okay, I'm just here to question.
No, I get you. That's not a bad thing. DC comic book news, which we just did a Marvel story. It seems there's a rumor going around that DC Comics is bringing the pre-52 back, according to a mostly reliable Bleeding Cool. Dan DiDio and Marie Javins are masterminding an event that will have pre-52 versions of various DC characters come face-to-face with our new DC 52 counterparts. The book is being created in advance to enable DC to continue putting out books during the move of their headquarters from New York to Burbank, California next year, and has been described by a creator as a, quote, love letter to DC Comics fans. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry, I was playing Batman and Flash Hero Run. Say that again, please.
Oh, you son of a bitch. What, seriously?
A little bit.
Alright, again, it seems like there's going to be an event book coming up where the new 52 is going to, where some characters of the new 52 are going to come across versions of their new 52 counterparts.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a money grab.
You don't say.
I mean, there are people that wants some of the old characters back, but never mind. Let's say, you know.
Yeah, just a couple more things. There's a trailer that came out this way.
You know, it's hard enough keeping up with Original Sin.
Yeah,
especially, you know, they came out with the companion book, Original Sins. And I'm glad I didn't waste my money on that. It was two stories, and the art in one just wasn't working at all, and none of it really mattered to the overall story. Just some hidden secrets about a couple of characters. That's about it. No one cares about that. It's a waste. Anyway, what was you about to say?
Well, just a couple more things. One, at E3, fans got a first look at gameplay from Batman Arkham Knight. The game recently announced to be delayed until next year had a spotlight on it at the Sony presentation of the recent entertainment excited.
I can't believe E3 came and went and I didn't follow none of the news.
I watched at least several of the presentations.
I didn't watch none of the presentations. I didn't read any of it. And I know you're a big Arkham fan.
Yeah, I do love the franchise Arkham Origins of Standing. There, two things came out of this. One is the gameplay trailer, which had a big reveal as the game sort of glitched halfway through, like on Arkham Asylum when the last Scarecrow level came up, and there was Scarecrow, which has since been confirmed to be voiced by Fringe and Sleepy Hollow actor John Noble, and I think it's going to be amazing. And also, in addition to Scarecrow, it's been announced there will be PlayStation 4 exclusive Scarecrow Nightmare Missions when the game is released in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that exciting?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. PlayStation Go. Yeah. And today was the last day of Comixology.
No, you missed that. It was yesterday. I was about to ask you, did you get all 20 books?
Yeah, yesterday was... I did not get all 20 books, because some of them were books that I've already read or owned. So I...
Yo, do you own them digitally?
I owned them in any way, digitally or physically.
Yeah, okay, you shouldn't have passed on them digitally, okay? Even if you owned it. I mean, I own some of the books physically, but I still got the copy. And here, let me go over the list of books that came out. Oh, I got to log in to my Comixology account. Just give me a second. Okay, here we go. All right, so the 20 books they gave out was Detective Comics 871, Magnus Robot Fighter 1, My Little Pony Ponytails Volume 1, Lumberjacks Number 1, Werewolves of Montefiore, is that correct?
What?
Was that correct? Multiplier?
Yeah, multiplier. Okay.
Archer and Armstrong, Archer Zero Digital Edition Exclusive. Gravel Combat Magician, WWE Superstar. Now, we are on a wrestling network, and I did post that in the Rant EM group page, so all y'all should have got your WWE Superstar digital comic. Lola XOXO Volume 1, Anti-Hero Volume 1, Letter 44, my favorite, Silver Surfer Number 1.
Of course, you narcissist.
Grim Fairy Tales Hellsing Number 1, Insufferable Number 1, Afterlife with Archie, Number 1. I keep hearing that that's supposed to be a great book. And same I saw here. The trade came out. You said you read it?
No, I said same here. I keep hearing it's great. I'm actually going to check it out.
Shudder, Number 1. Seven Swords, Number 1. A lot of Number 1s. Starlight, Number 1. Normandy, A Graphic History of D-Day Allied Allies of Hitler Fortress Europe. Now, that was a graphic novel. They gave you for free. And the cost on that was like, $20?
Yep.
And last but not least was Hinterkind, which came out yesterday. So, I got all 20 books because they're free. So, they're for me. And it's not going to hurt me either way whether I read them or not.
I got a good majority of them.
You did get the My Little Pony, right?
No, I did not.
What is wrong with you?
I don't like My Little Pony.
Oh, my God. You could have got My Little Pony. One day, you'll have that book digitally available for your little daughter.
I'm not going to have kids.
Yes, you will.
No, I'm not.
Because you say you're not going to have kids.
I know I'm definitely not going to have kids.
Are you getting a snip?
Yeah, I'm totally going to get a vasectomy for my 25th birthday later this month.
Oh, my God. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
My body, my choice.
Don't do it.
My body, my choice.
Please don't do it.
My body, my choice. Stop.
Don't do it.
I will. It's my penis. I will do what I like.
What do you think about the Gundam live action movie?
I'm not a Gundam fan.
I'm not either, but I didn't ask you that. I asked you, what'd you think about the live-action movie?
I didn't see it.
Okay, is the Gundam live-action movie release date and trailer inbounds and the first stills as the movie goes online? What'd you think about the second Sin City trailer?
That was interesting. That's I like that.
That's going to be awesome. And what do you think about the...
Birdman?
Yeah, Birdman.
We didn't talk about Birdman. Finally came out. I've heard about this movie before. It's been on my to-watch list for 2014. I was hoping the trailer would affirm that this was still on my list. It still is. I'm looking forward to this movie.
Let me get this right. Is this about an actor who played the Birdman character we see on Cartoon Network?
No, just get this out of the way, he is not an attorney at law.
No, I know it's an actor, but I'm saying what?
It's not the same Birdman.
Why not? Is that going to cause any legal problems?
I don't know.
I'm all excited thinking we're getting some Harvey Birdman and
attorney at law. God, I love that show so much. But this movie is really about an actor played by Michael Keaton who is famous for portraying an iconic superhero struggling to mount a Broadway play. In the days leading up to the opening night, he battles with his ego and attempts to recover his family, his life, and his career. Cast includes Michael Keaton as the lead, as said, Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton, Amy Ryan, Naomi Watts, and Emma Stone as Keaton's daughter. And Andrea Riseborough.
Mm-hmm. You got any information on the Captain America Winter Soldier home release?
We went over that.
We did?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago before we took that break.
All right.
We did that and Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. Blu-ray.
Just making sure. So we're about to close up shop here. So... Let me go over all the fine shows here on Rant and Rated. Nope, I'm just kidding. Let me do this enthusiastically. All right, folks. Don't go nowhere because sticking around 7 p.m., AA will bring you coverage of TNA Slammiversary pre- and post-game here on Rant and Radio. So you don't want to miss that. And then, of course, come back Tuesday for his show, The Rant, at 8 p.m., where AA goes over all the wrestling news. And sometimes he finds Raw interesting enough to discuss. Okay? Wednesdays, 9 p.m., Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Phil and Dave. I was just listening to last week's show, and they was going over the whole... They was playing a lot of stuff about the Bunkhouse Stampede and Luger. And anyway... Saturday nights is What Are You Reading Comic Book Show with William Morgan. Lets you talk about anything and everything wrestling. Yesterday he wasn't on the air, but he did do a special Friday night show, which was a pretty interesting thing. So listen to that. If you tuned in yesterday and didn't know what happened, well, you can download his show and listen to it from Friday night. And we are here every Sunday for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. We talk to comic books because nobody else is willing to do it, so we do it. So you don't have to.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to take a moment to talk about the loss of Casey Kasem, voice icon, America's top 40 host for decades. Best known for his work as Shaggy from Scooby-Doo and Robin the Boy Wonder. And hold up, I had the page of all the stuff he did, and I'm gotta find it again. So just give me a second. Did you know Casey Kasem was Iranian?
No, I honestly did not.
Yeah, he was an Iranian American. He was proud of the fact too. So he was born here. But he was of Iranian descent, so, you know, we don't need to go to a war with Iran for all you people that think that we should. Not necessary.
Yeah, because Casey Kasem.
That's right. All right, so, he started off. He did Famous Adventures of Mr. Magoo. He did Batman Superman Hour. He did Starhawks, Hot Wheels, Chattanooga Cats, Psycho Savages, Josie and the Pussycats. He was Alexander Colbert III. Of course, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? He voiced Shaggy. Here Comes Peter Cottontail. He played Peter Cottontail. Did you ever see that movie?
I do not believe so.
Oh, I used to watch that movie all the time as a little kid. Let's see. Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space. New Scooby-Doo movies. The Bears Slept With Through Christmas. Super Friends. Can't forget Super Friends. Hong Kong Phooey. Let's see. Well, see. Let's skip over his live stuff. Ooh, I don't remember if Wonderbug was a cartoon or not. What's New Mr. Magoo TV Show? All New Super Friend Hours. Scooby-Doo Laugh Olympics. You ever watch that in reruns?
No.
He was Shaggy. He was Mr. Creepy. Oh, you know what? And the Batman show, he was also Chief O'Hara. He also did the voice of Chief O'Hara.
Huh.
Janitor of the Jungle. Scooby-Doo Dino-Mutt Hour. Challenge of the Super Friends. Dino-Mutt Dog Wonder. World's Greatest Super Friends. The Flintstones Meet Rocker and Flintstones. More Scooby-Doo. He voiced Mary in Return of the King. Cartoon, did you just see that? Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo Puppy Hour. More Super Friends. More Scooby-Doo. Ghostbusters.
I think we're running low on time.
I know, but I'm going to skip. His last voice was Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated in 2010 to 13. So anyway, folks, we're going to cut it short so that Double A, who's not the boss of me, can get on the air. Because he might have a fit if we go over one extra minute. But it's fine. We'll be back.
Yes, we will.
He's probably out there listening now, trying to think of ways to give me a hard time. That's what he does.
But he loves me.
He picks on me. I didn't want to put that out there for the public, but that's what he does. Oh, yeah, he was on Battle of the Planets, too. Forgot to mention, Battle of the Planets. You do know Battle of the Planets, right?
No idea.
You never watched G-Force, Battle of the Planets?
No, I did not.
Oh, my friend, I have to teach you a lot. But anyway, say goodnight to the people, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
We'll be back soon. So later. Peace.